Good morning. Good morning, everybody, on this rainy day. It's good to be together, all of you, all of us. Those of you that are worshiping online, welcome. Lots of good things happening here in this space. You can feel the energy, the start of the year. You can feel it in town. The schools will be bustling tomorrow. Lots of good things. So would you please take a moment this morning, this week, to look at all the things happening here in the life of our church. Youth group kiddos, you're going to head to lunch after church. You can connect with Robbie and Laura and Marissa after church. Robbie, is there a spot you want them to meet you? The youth? Out front. Out front. You'll gather together. So make note of that. We have our coming home celebration on the 13th. We'll have live jazz band again and a popcorn bar and the start of church school classes. Lots of good things. But before the 13th, we have a sign up Sunday. Next week, we will have all of the schedules out for reading and greeting and hosting fellowship time and providing flowers for worship. So we invite you to bring your calendars. If you're like Robbie and you use a paper calendar, go ahead and pack that, bring it with you, or bring your phone, and we'll figure some sign-ups out so we have worship, so we can worship together. You all make it possible. All right. As you'll see in the bulletin, we are still inviting you, and we'll continue to invite you to join Laura for tea. Laura, you've had how many now? Quite a few. More than a dozen. Awesome. So keep signing up for those. You can go online. The information's in the bulletin. It's a fun thing to do, to get to spend time with Laura, so sign up to do that. And you'll see information about music, too. The choir, an invitation for that. The Ad Libitum concert series is beginning again. Check out the information there. Lots of really important and good things happening. So, now let's do the thing we came to do, to be together and to worship the living God. Let us worship.
Thank you. Will you stand with me if you're able as we pray? God, be with us this morning as we gather together. Be with us in the rain. Be with us as we start school. Be with us in our joy and in our anxiety. Be with us as we connect, either today or at school with friends. Be with us as we feel alone. We need you. Thank you for bringing us together today, because we need each other too. Help us to feel loved. Help us to be loved. Amen. Standing for the psalm. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I wash my hands and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving, and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the place where your glory abides. In the full assembly, I will bless the Lord.
When I walked in this morning, I had many kids tell me something special about tomorrow, about what grade they were going to be in tomorrow. Can you put your fingers up for what you're going to be learning about tomorrow, or what grade you're in tomorrow, or maybe if you're going to be in a fours class or a threes class, or, yeah, ooh. Lots of good learning is starting. Maybe exactly tomorrow it starts, or maybe it's already started for you. We want to give you a blessing. So you're going to take your fingers, do your fingers again, what grade you're in, whatever you're in. And then figure out how to put your hands like you're receiving a gift. If you were to be receiving a gift, would you put your hands out like this, or would you be like this? I don't know. Oh, maybe not falling from the sky. No, somebody handing it to you. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to offer a blessing over you, which is like a gift of words. So you might be thinking about those words as they like pour over your head like a rainy day. You might be thinking of those words as a gift, like something you're going to receive and hold on to tight. But it is a new beginning, and we want to honor that new beginning for you. All the good learning that's going to happen. So would you figure out how you want to receive your blessing? If you want to receive it like this, or like this, or like this, it's up to you. Yeah. You could do it, or like this, yeah, yeah, like you want it. That's, yeah, words for want. And we're going to stand up with those, with our hands doing what we want. And then if you are going into middle school or high school or college, all the levels, would you also stand up? Let's all stand up. We're all going to stand up. If you're about to begin a new learning, and if you're a teacher, we're going to bless those who are church school teachers next week, but for this week, it's those who are learning outside of this space. Look at all the learners. Look up into the choir loft. Yeah, all around the room, learners and teachers. All right. You also can put your hands out to receive a blessing if you'd like. All right, here we go. Let's pray this gift of words over you, what we hope for you. May you be reminded each day that God is with you.
This school year, may you always remember that you are loved.
May you be curious and kind. May you be gentle and strong. May you be brave and loving.
May you remember that the very best thing you can do is be yourself.
And may God give all of you the school year of learning and of growing and of fun, too. May your learning be fun. And before we say amen, can we say woohoo to remember the fun part of learning? Let's all say woohoo, and then we'll say amen. Ready? Woohoo! Amen. May it be so. All right, let's head to church school together.
Continue in the spirit of back to school as we pray for all our learners and educators. Let us pray together. Holy teacher, you gathered disciples around you and you taught them important lessons. We believe that you value all the learning that happens in our schools. We ask that you would bless all those who return to school this season. We pray for all our children and students who have already or are about to return to school. Grant them clear minds and focus to attend to their studies. Spark in them a love of learning new things. Inspire them to discover subjects that they most enjoy. Grant them educators who support them in their pursuit of more knowledge. Calm their fears and anxieties. Open up new worlds to them as they learn and grow. We pray for teachers, administrators, aides, and volunteers, all who work with our students each and every day to promote their learning and provide for their needs while they're at school. Grant them loving kindness for each and every student. Grant them patience for discouraging moments. Grant them rest and renewed energy for when the days are long. We pray for parents and caregivers who send their students to school to be enriched and developed by others. Grant them wisdom for supporting their unique children. Grant them endurance for juggling all the busyness of shuttling kids to and fro. Grant them peace of mind for the moments when it's hard to send children into a new place. We pray for children all around our world who are not returning to school because they live in the midst of war, because their schools no longer exist, because their school buildings are serving as a place for refuge or shelter, or because they're not allowed to go to school. We pray especially for girls who are excluded from an education, and for all children who are forced to work instead of learn. Help us, O God, to do better for our children. Holy One, we pray for the safety of all who enter school buildings each day. We hope that our schools are places of learning and growth, yet we know that sometimes they can be places of harm. May your peace, O great teacher, prevail in all our schools. And we continue in prayer today for all persons and situations on our minds and in our hearts. We pray especially for Noreen and Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Bob, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, David, Martha, Claire, Anne, and Liz, and the peoples of Nepal and Tibet in the aftermath of flash flooding. We pray all these things today, O God, in the name of Jesus, the greatest teacher and the one who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for reading from the Gospel of Matthew. The Canaanite woman's faith. Jesus left. This is the right one, right? Oh, I'm in the wrong. There we go. Okay. That was last week. I apologize. I was going off the Bible here and I should have referenced it differently. Okay. Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, Peter, do you find yourself sympathizing with Peter? He is so very human, isn't he? He's so eager, and yet he so often misses the mark. I must admit that I resonate with Peter today. In this story from Matthew's gospel, Peter seems to think he knows better. Last week we heard Peter praised for getting the answer right. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus praised him for his answer. Jesus called Peter blessed and declared Peter the rock upon which he would build his church. Last week, Peter got a gold star. And I resonate with that. I too like getting gold stars. So in today's story, which immediately follows, Peter has some confidence. He got the answer right last week. And when Jesus begins telling the disciples about what is ahead for them, when Jesus starts talking about suffering and death, Peter gets a bit arrogant. Peter thinks he knows better than Jesus. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Peter rebukes Jesus. He says to Jesus, "God forbid it. This must never happen to you." Peter does not want his friend and his teacher to suffer at the hands of the powerful. He thinks that he knows best. "No, Jesus, you must not provoke the powerful to do you harm. You must find another way. We can fight. Let us help you." It's a posture that Peter takes into the stories to come. After all, canonically, it's Peter who cuts off the ear of the servant in the garden when the authorities come to arrest Jesus. In both of these instances, today and in the garden, when Peter pulls out a sword, Jesus rejects Peter's desire to fight. Jesus says to Peter, "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Last week, when Peter declared that Jesus is the Messiah. It seems that Peter said the right words, but did not really understand them in the way that Jesus understood them. Peter apparently has a vision of the Messiah as a deliverer who would never suffer or be conquered or killed. Indeed, on the contrary, Peter likely shares the vision common in those days that the Messiah will be a military conqueror and will vanquish the Roman occupiers and restore the Davidic monarchy once and for all. Peter has in his mind a different kind of Messiah than the one whom Jesus is called to be. And honestly, some days I'm right there with Peter. I'm feeling like it's time to call upon Jesus and tell him to use all that divine power to vanquish our enemies. It sure would feel good if Jesus would come back and annihilate all those who are doing harm in our world. Why won't Jesus meet force with force? We're ready, aren't we, to fight? The disciples were looking for someone to lead them in the fight, not someone who was ready to die. Yet that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus tells the disciples all about this suffering that is to come and his death. And of course, we know the end of this story. We know that the cross is not the final event. But the disciples have no idea what's ahead. For Peter, this idea of the Messiah suffering at the hands of the powerful and being killed is anathema to him. It's totally not what he expected, and he can't accept it. So as we've already heard, Peter confronts Jesus. And Jesus points out to Peter that he is focusing on the wrong thing. Peter is focused on human things instead of on divine ways. It sure is easy to get caught up in focusing on human things. We desire power. We place so much hope and expectation on our human institutions. We tend to protect our own interests, our own families, at the expense of others. We center our own truth as the only truth. We believe that violence is the best answer to the world's problems, maybe the only one. However, throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus is continually inviting the disciples to imagine something different. He repeatedly declares that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus opposes self-centered, domineering, grasping forms of power. His mode of opposition isn't armed with a sword. He has in mind a more subversive kind of resistance to the powers that be. After all, the opposite of a grasping violent fist isn't a bigger fist, but rather an open, loving hand. Jesus will lead a revolution, but a revolution of love and service and justice. On the surface, yes, he will suffer and be rejected. On the surface, yes, he will at last submit to the ultimate imperial instrument of cruelty and intimidation, that Roman cross. On the surface, he will be defeated. But God prevails. After 3 days, he will rise again, and a movement called to love and service and justice is born. But in today's story, we once again find the disciples focused on human things and completely missing the divine work that's unfolding before them. And admittedly, this divine work is so counterintuitive that it can be really difficult to notice. When you expect God to show up as a conquering warrior, but instead you get a teacher who insists on talking about suffering and death, it can feel like you've maybe chosen the wrong Messiah. In her book, Jesus and John Wayne, Kristen Dumay, professor, describes how American evangelical Christianity came to embrace an image of Jesus as an ultra-masculine warrior who conquers his enemies. The book is a fascinating historical look at the rise of Christian nationalism as a result of this American evangelical phenomenon. And as we can see when we unpack today's story from Matthew, this characterization of Jesus as a conquering hero is one that he himself rejects. It's a human tendency, is it not, to want to win, to want to come out on top? Yet Jesus challenges us with these words. If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Now, this teaching from Jesus is one that we must handle with care. So many have been harmed by misinterpretations of this text. Jesus does not say here, go find a cross to pick up. Jesus does not want us to seek out suffering for suffering's sake. Nor does Jesus say here that someone who is in an abusive situation should quote-unquote bear their cross. Instead, I believe that to be a cross-bearer is, as one commentator said, to make decisions about where you align yourself. Will you align yourself with earthly power? Will you capitulate to authoritarians? Will you focus on human things? Or will you open yourself to the way of love and save your soul? This week, I read a piece written by pastor and activist Reverend Jen Butler. She writes of churches in Southfield, Ohio, and their efforts to support their immigrant neighbors. More than 10,000 Haitians live in Springfield, Ohio, a metro area of only 135,000 residents. And in the wake of immigration enforcement, the churches have organized to support their neighbors. Churches and faith-connected volunteers are delivering food and diapers, providing rides to immigration court, finding lawyers, building networks of families willing to step in when someone disappears into detention. Church families are preparing to take children into their homes if their government takes their parents. Reverend Butler highlights the efforts of one pastor in particular. Pastor Carl Ruby of Central Christian Church has been standing with Springfield's Haitian community for some time. And when Haitian immigrants were ordered to report to an ICE office near Cincinnati, where many were fitted with electronic ankle monitors, Ruby and other faith leaders accompanied them. Outside the ICE office, they served communion. Ruby offered the bread and cup as a reminder that these Haitians remained a part of the body of Christ. Reverend Butler writes this: "I can't stop thinking about that image. The state puts a monitor around your ankle. The church places bread in your hand and says you are a part of the body." Reverend Butler wrote about the actions of the churches in Springfield, Ohio, as a reminder of our calling to be inconvenient in response to authoritarian power. She continues, "For years, Christian nationalism has tried to convince America that Christianity belongs naturally alongside domination, exclusion, and political power. That is a lie. There is a much older faith available to us, a faith of Exodus and liberation, of prophets confronting kings, of Jesus announcing good news to the poor and freedom to the oppressed, of disciples discovering that love is stronger than empire, and of communities learning to care for one another when the powers around them will not." My friends, this is Jesus' message of good news to us today. Turn your attention to divine ways. God's way of justice and mercy and kingdom is a way that rejects violence and domination. Following Jesus may very well lead to a cross. That's always a possibility. But the cross isn't the point. The journey towards the cross, a journey marked by the building of beloved community, a journey marked by compassionate care for our neighbors, a journey marked by inconveniencing the empire, a journey marked by sharing bread and cup with the outcast. That journey is the point. Jesus invites us all with those familiar words today: "Come, follow me." Will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? Will you follow Jesus and embrace something different? Will you focus not on human things but on divine ways? Will you open your hands and soften your hearts to embrace love? The journey won't be easy. It will not be a triumphant march, and it will undoubtedly include suffering. All movements of love and kindness and justice do. It will include its share of crosses and more than its share of resurrection. And in the end, little by little, it will make us the children of God we were created to be. For Jesus, the Messiah, is with us, whispering to us all, "Come, follow me." As recipients of abundant life in Christ, we now offer our gifts to God, trusting the Holy Spirit to direct their use for the common good. Let us now worship God with our gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us greet one another with signs of peace. And now may you go from this place. May you boldly follow Jesus wherever he may lead you, trusting that while the journey may cost you something, you will be saved. Go in peace. Amen.